Again, good evening. It is good to be back here tonight. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. How many of you have ever been asked the question, what do you do? Anybody ever heard that question? What do you do? And usually, when we hear that question, a lot of times we are thinking in terms of where we work. And maybe we'll say, well, I work at, or I work for this company, or I teach, or I do something along those lines. It's a simple question, but a lot of times we don't really think more deeply about it. The question, what do you do? What do you do? If whatever your job is, if your boss were to come in, or your supervisor, the owner of the company you work at, and he walked in, he had you come in his office and sit down, and he asked you, what do you do? It would probably take on a little different meaning than someone asking you that on the street, wouldn't it? Because we're thinking, he's wanting to know, what do you really do? Define for me what your job is. Explain to me the things that you do daily for this company. He wants you to think about the things that you actually do. And I think about that as I'm looking at this passage that I've read, and I've, as a matter of fact, it was one of the first things that we had to memorize when I was in the school of preaching almost 20 years ago in this passage. Let's just read chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and go down through verse 5 together as we start. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now that last phrase in chapter or in verse 5 is what I want to key in on tonight. Fulfill your ministry. He's reminding Timothy, as he has in other times and other places, what he is about. What do you do, Timothy? Maybe is a question he could have asked. What are you doing? What are you supposed to be about? Now, he starts out in this passage kind of outlining Timothy's ministry. It starts out, he says, I charge you. I'm reminding you. I'm giving you an assignment, or at least bringing back to your memory your assignment that you agreed to long ago. The reason why you are where you are. That you have a stewardship. That you've accepted that stewardship, and you are supposed to be doing something specific. Now, what is it you're supposed to do, Timothy? And he's letting him, he's lining this out. He says, I charge you. Very, very important. This isn't something that he's asking him about. He's not saying, Timothy, would you consider maybe doing this? He's saying, I charge you. How do I charge? I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. God and Christ Jesus are present while I'm charging you. I'm telling you this in their very presence. I'm calling on them, and by His appearing, because He's resurrected from the dead, because He is no longer in the grave, because He's sitting at the right hand of God, because of His appearing, He ever lives, I'm charging you this. Are you listening? And by His kingdom, He is the King. He is in control. He is ruling in our lives. Are you listening to me, Timothy? I'm charging you this way. There is great gravity in what he's telling Timothy right now. What does he tell him? What is his charge? What is his ministry? He says, Timothy, preach the word. Teach God's word. Teach the good news about Jesus Christ. You need to tell the people where you are the absolute truths of God's word. You don't need to worry about other things. What you need to dwell on, what you need to spend your time on, is this very specific thing. You need to be ready, constantly ready, to share the message of the cross with everybody that is around you. All of the people. You need to edify them. You need to bring them up in the deep truths of God's word. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort them. Stop those people who are saying things that they shouldn't be talking about. You ever hear conversations going on that we probably really shouldn't be involved in? Hear things that really shouldn't be said? He says, as a minister, as your ministry, you need to stop those things. Reprove people in what they're talking. If they're not talking about good, holy things, then stop them from doing that. Stop them. Rebuke them. Correct them. Change them. Lead them in the direction they need to go. Challenge their thinking. What are they about? You know, a lot of times we don't understand where we should be going or what we should really be talking about. That's what he's telling Timothy. Take the people where they need to go. Now you got to think, a lot of these people are very new Christians. They don't know who they are. They've grown up their whole life believing other things, not knowing who Jesus is, that He is the Christ and the Messiah, not understanding anything about the kingdom of God, and Timothy is supposed to be directing their steps. He says, this is very, very important, Timothy, because there are those who will not endure sound doctrine. There are those who don't really want to hear the truth. You need to make sure they're hearing the truth. You need to make sure that when they are around you or when the church is assembled and you are present, you need to make sure that what's being taught is accurate, is truthful. You need to make sure of that. And it says, not only will they not endure sound doctrine, but they will accumulate teachers in accordance to their own desires. I would imagine today that we could go and find a religious group meeting somewhere that would teach anything that we really want to hear. Would you agree with that? I'm sure there is a group meeting somewhere that would teach anything that anybody wants to hear. Even if it's not the truth, if they're not wanting to hear the truth, that they're wanting to accumulate teachers that would do or say the things they want to hear, you could find those places. That's what he's saying. There are people who are going to try their best to surround themselves with people, with teachers, that will say what they want to hear. Timothy, your ministry that I'm charging you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus is you fulfill your ministry, and this is your ministry. You teach the Word of God. You preach it. You proclaim it to those people who maybe don't want to hear it. And stop those people who are trying to confuse everyone else. Very clearly, he outlines this minute. He reminds Timothy of his ministry. Well, this idea of fulfilling your ministry, I think, is worthy of us talking about in our lives today. Now, Timothy had an apostle specifically talking to him. His spiritual father, if you will, who had educated him and taught him and spent a lot of time with him and writing letters to him to encourage him to continue doing what he was supposed to be about. And today maybe we don't have an apostle writing us a letter or talking to us, calling us on the telephone to say, you know, what are you up to? How is your ministry going? But we have ministries today. We have things that we are to be involved in today. And I think there are some of those ministries that we have today. One of them is about our eldership, our shepherds in the Lord's church. It's a ministry. And Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Be on guard. He is saying, I'm charging you to understand that it is very, very important what you are about. As a shepherd, there are things you must do. You have accepted, in order to serve as a shepherd, you've accepted certain things, and you understand what your ministry is all about, and that ministry is about shepherding the flock of God. Shepherding this flock, making sure that they're fed, making sure that they are growing, that this church is spiritually growing. That is your responsibility. Make sure that happens. And we can look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 following, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 following, and we could find lists of qualifications that men must meet in order to serve as a shepherd. And in those lists, there's one of them that I think is really vitally important, and that is the apt to teach, or willing to teach. And I believe that's probably one of, if not the most important, it's very important in the qualifications of a shepherd. Why is it so important to be able to teach? You know, it's more than just an ability to get up and speak. That's not what it really is. What it really is this is a deep desire within this man to share the deep truths of God's Word with people around him. To make sure that this congregation or the people, God's family, are understanding what God's Word is all about. It's someone who is mature in God's Word. It's someone who knows that there is nothing else available to him that is more important for him to give to this congregation than God's Word. Someone who does not have that kind of desire to share, to make sure that God's family is being fed, is not qualified to serve as a shepherd. Doesn't make them less of a person. But they're not qualified. This cannot be their ministry. If someone is not teaching, if a man is not teaching God's Word accurately to a congregation, then they are not qualified to serve as a shepherd. They are not qualified to have this ministry in God's kingdom. And that is not simply a good example of life. That's not what he's talking about. He is literally talking about sharing the deep truths of God's words with people. Why is that so important? This is where people understand. Just like Timothy, when Paul is talking to him, we've got to be ready to preach the word. We've got to be ready to share that. And that's what the shepherds have got to be ready to feed the flock, to shepherd the flock. That's one of those things that they have to be qualified to do. I think of the apostles in Acts chapter 6. And they're looking out, and the Grecian widows are being overlooked, and they're not being fed. And there is some disagreements arise. And the apostles said, call the congregation together. And they said, okay, we want you to choose from among yourselves 7 men to serve in this. Because this is not our ministry. This is not what we're about. We are about teaching the Word and about praying. That's our ministry. And we want you to take this ministry. They didn't say that's an unimportant ministry, but they said that's not our ministry. Now, you do that. You find those people. We cannot neglect the Word of God. This is what we must devote ourselves to, is the ministry of the Word and to prayer. We've got to understand what our ministries are. And we've got to be faithful to them. And our shepherds have to understand what their ministries are. This morning, 3 men were appointed as deacons to serve in this congregation. And they have ministries outlined. And I think it is a wonderful thing what our shepherds did this morning through Gary, by getting up and introducing and saying, not introducing as in here's a new member, but introducing our new deacons, those men that are going to be serving in specific ministry areas in this congregation. And in a sense, the elders, not in a passing on miraculous gifts, but they laid their hands of approval on these men and said, we approve these men to serve in this congregation. in with God and with Jesus Christ as witnesses with amongst us today, we are putting these men forward to serve this congregation as deacons, as ministry leaders in these areas. And those men need to know what their ministry areas are. If they're going to fulfill their ministry, just like Timothy was commanded to fulfill his ministry, they need to understand what it is, what their ministries are. And then Gary asked the rest of our deacons to come forward. And we have several serving in this congregation. And those men need to understand what their ministries are. And I think it was appropriate for once again for them to be recognized and say, you know, in charge, we are charging you to fulfill your ministry. That's what the elders were doing this morning by bringing them up in front and saying they're charging them once again. Not that they haven't been charged before, but once again they've been charged with their ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill what God has for you to do. It is important that we understand our ministries. It is important that we understand what we are to be about. And we see the preachers and we see the elders and we see deacons and we go, those are easy. They have some certain things outlined for them. But ministry is really personal. Ministry is about each one of us. It's about every member of the Lord's kingdom, of His church. Every member in the Lord's church has a ministry. All of us do. Ministry is about you. It's not about others. It's not about us looking and saying what someone else should be doing. Well, you know, this person should be doing this or this or this, or he should be doing that. No, it's about me. It's about what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not about others including us in their ministry. You should invite me or ask me to come and serve with you. No, it's not what it's about. It's about us. It's about me personally understanding what my ministry is all about. Look in Matthew chapter 25 with me for just a minute. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, this is the parable of the talents. And I'm sure that you've read this passage before. Most all of us have, and we've heard it preached from many times. But it says in verse 14, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." And what he was doing was giving them an assignment, giving them a stewardship, giving them a ministry. And he said, "You have something that you need to be faithful with, and here it is. I'm going to give you these things." And this is a parable, just kind of teaching the truths of what we're about, that we all have, that we are all assigned, if you will, that we have all been given ministries or stewardships in our Christian life by God for us to be faithful with. And just like Paul was telling Timothy, you need to fulfill your ministry, we need to listen to that same command and understand that we have been charged in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus to fulfill our ministry that we have been given. And we know the rest of this story. He comes back. The master returns after a long time. And he tells his servants to come to him. And he says, "What did you do?" And the one with 5 came and he said, "Look what I did. I have your 5 and I have 5 more." And he says, "Well done. You fulfilled your ministry. You did what I expected of you to do. You were faithful in what I've given you. Enter in." And the second one came and said, "Here are the 2 that you gave, and here's 2 more." And he said, "Well done. You fulfilled your ministry. You did what I expected of you. You accepted your assignment and you followed through with them. Well done. Enter in." And the last one came and he said, "I knew you were hard. I knew you gathered where you didn't sow. I just knew what kind of person you were. So what I did is I dug a hole and I buried it. And well, here it is." He said, "You wicked and slothful, lazy servant. You refused, even though you accepted it, you refused to fulfill your ministry, your stewardship. Depart from me. Leave me." Is it important that we understand that we have ministries, each one of us? You better believe it is. Tonight, what do you do in your Christianity, in your walk with God? If God were to ask you right now, if He were to bring you into His office and set you down and say, "What do you do?" How would you answer? What is your ministry? How would you answer Him tonight? You know, there are all kinds of ministries. Do you, or have you accepted the fact that you have a ministry? Have you tried to understand what your ministry is all about? Have you clearly defined your ministry? You know, maybe your ministry is helping others understand what their ministry is. You can encourage. Maybe you're one of those encouragers that sits down and helps people understand where they fit in and what they could be doing in the kingdom of God. And maybe you're one of those ones that encourages those people to not only understand it, but to fulfill their ministry. Maybe you're good at that. There are people in this congregation I know. I've watched some of you. I've listened to some of you. And I realize you're really good at talking to people one-on-one and encouraging. If that's your ministry, you need to clearly define that and start working towards fulfilling those things. Maybe it's public teaching. Maybe it's a public teaching of God's Word. Maybe that's your ministry. Maybe it's providing emotional support to someone in a crisis in their life. You know, there's not a lot of people that are good at that, but some are. You ever had someone in your life that you could sit down and you could talk to and you walk away just feeling better? Just feeling really good that you had a conversation with that person? There are people that are blessed with those abilities. There are all kinds. There are countless ministries. However, the one absolute that we understand, that we have to accept, is that you and I each have a ministry. We have something to fulfill in God's kingdom. What do you do in the kingdom of God? What is your ministry? If you don't know what it is, if you haven't discovered it, you know, there are a lot of people in this congregation that can help you do that. That can help you be faithful. Isn't that what we're, as a family, we're supposed to be about? Encouraging one another. And I think a lot of that, even as we gather around that table, the communion table on the first day of the week, each morning on Sunday morning, every week, we gather around it and we're supposed to be looking at the body. We're supposed to be thinking about our relationship with each other. How have I encouraged my brothers and sisters this past week? How is my relationships with each other? We're supposed to be thinking towards those ends when we gather around that table. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. What do you do? What is your ministry in the kingdom of God? I have no doubt that the charge that Paul gave Timothy is just as important to me as it was to Timothy. Now, I don't mean the specific things of him saying, you need to be ready to preach the word. You need to be. Those may not be your ministry. That may not be your ministry. But the charge in the presence of God, and the charge of saying you need to be faithful with your ministry and fulfill it, is just as important to you and to me today. What do you do in the kingdom of God? You know, that may sound, it may almost sound negative. Like, oh man, I've got another job and you're expecting me to do something else. That's not really it at all. But think about, God has given us something to do. God believes enough in you that He has given you a ministry in His kingdom to fulfill. What is it? Isn't that exciting that God loves and thinks enough of us that He is giving us something very, very important to do? And if we don't fulfill those things, the body is harmed, because everything that God has blessed me with is for the body. It's not for me, but it's for the body. Everything that God has blessed you with is not for you, but it is for everyone in His kingdom. How do we build up and edify one another? Except we come together and we fulfill our ministries together, and we love this kingdom, and we do all that God has given us to do. We fulfill our ministries, and we will bless each other's lives as we are on our journey, as we go towards our final and eternal destination in heaven. I don't know where you are tonight, and I don't know how this has hit you. I don't know how you are, what you're thinking about right now. But I hope that you will allow these words to challenge you into thinking, at least that you know, that you realize that you are, you have a ministry in God's kingdom. And I hope if you don't know what that ministry is, that you will, with great determination, beginning this very night, start contemplating and thinking, what is it that you're supposed to be about in God's kingdom? What has He given you to do in this kingdom? I can't answer that for you. Maybe we could have a conversation and we could help each other. Maybe I could help you understand what yours is. Someone else in this congregation, I'm sure, could. We would love to help you understand your ministry. But I challenge you again, when you leave tonight, if you don't have one clearly defined, what you are to do in this kingdom, start looking and trying to understand what you are about, what you are to do. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, to fulfill your ministry. Tonight, if there is anything that we can do to help you as you go along your journey and fulfilling your ministry, we would love to help you do that. And if it requires, or if you feel a need for come forward and for us to pray for you and with you, then we would love to do that right now. If you want to become a child of God tonight, we would love to help you with that as well. If there's anything that we can do for you in a public way, we'd ask you to not put it off, not wait any longer, but do it right now. Come to Him as He's calling you. Right now, while we stand and we sing together.